This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
So how do we make sure that the Second Amendment stays relevant for all people and that our rights, our Second Amendment rights, are preserved for all people? Those that shall not be infringed, as the Constitution says. I know a lot of us are worried. I'm worried. I don't know about you. You know that this Las Vegas shooting, man, how tragic it is. I'm still sad over that. Are you? I am. I'm just, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm so sad at what our world's become. In addition to the people who died, of course. I'm not trying to discount the people that lost their life. It's incredibly tragic, but I've gotten so sad as to how this world has degraded so much. You know what I mean? That's the real tragedy of it all. But through it, how do we make sure that gun rights stay there for everybody? I'm Bob Main. You are listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. And I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And this is episode 434. And I'm on the diversity theme again. I think promoting diversity is one thing that can really preserve our right. Let's all forget. I mean, not forget. Excuse me. Little slip of the tongue there. Let's not forget that the Second Amendment is for everyone. Second Amendment to the United States Constitution helps keep men and women free. Free from tyrannical governments that want to oppress the population. A well-armed populace can stand up to that tyranny. Potential victims have a right to carry a gun to also preserve their life, no matter who they are. This is the right to life. I kind of say it's another angle to the right to life argument. Would you agree? Everybody has the right to live. Everybody has the right to protect themselves against somebody that wants to take their life. Everybody has the right to stand up to a tyrannical government. It doesn't matter whether it's local, county, federal. Oh, Bob, you're being nuts. It's not, we're never going to have a situation like that where the government's doing that to our citizens. What do you mean? It's happening in other countries. It has happened in other countries. We relax too much, folks. How do you know that it won't get that way in the United States? We've already seen some examples of that after natural disasters. The government trying to disarm people. Don't ever say never that it can't happen. So I think there's strength in numbers. Just my opinion. Who am I? I'm just an everyday guy. I'm not an industry expert. I'm not a constitutional scholar. But just kind of my everyday attitude, the way I look at it, is there's power in numbers. Maybe it's my background as a salesperson for over 31 years. I've learned about the numbers game. And it works. And the more people who embrace the Second Amendment, embrace the fact that it helps preserve their freedom, and it gives them a good means of self-defense, no matter who they are, no matter what race, no matter what sexual orientation, no matter what your religious beliefs are, No matter what walk of life you come from, the Second Amendment applies to you. And so the strength in numbers, I feel that the more people who embrace it, the more people who exercise their Second Amendment rights, the harder it will be for the government to put severe restrictions on your rights or even take them away. It's harder. Strength in numbers. It's harder for the government to do that. So a few weeks ago at the Gun Rights Policy Conference in Dallas, Texas, I got a lot of good interviews when I was there. Here's another one this week that I'm going to play for you. Aaron Paulette from Operation Blazing Sword sat down with me and with Ben Branham. And the three of us talked about diversity in the Second Amendment community and how it needs to become even more diverse. So you're going to hear from Aaron shortly, but I just wanted to kind of set the stage here that we've got to be able to reach out to other people other than who you think maybe the typical gun enthusiast would be. A lot of us have stereotypes of that. We got to break those barriers down, and we got to promote the Second Amendment to everyone. This podcast is sponsored by Concealment Solutions. Right now I'm wearing a Concealment Solutions Cobra, and I've got my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield 9mm. And these are great outside-the-waistband concealed carry holsters. I think it's probably the most concealable outside-the-waistband holster that you can buy. I've said this before, I've switched to outside-the-waistband, strong side hip carry. I'm a big believer in appendix inside the waistband carry, and I have done that for years. I am just as fast with outside the waist carry. And it's more comfortable, and it conceals extremely well in the Concealment Solutions Cobra holster. So check them out, concealmentsolutions.com, concealmentsolutions.com. For those of you who are members of our Shooters Club, I did a real good video on some of these outside the waistband holsters. So you'll be able to see them on the Shooters Club. There's one of them on there. You know, Ben and I have well over 70 excellent videos for only $8 a month or $75 a year that you can view. Sign up for the Shooters Club. You'll probably notice you don't hear a whole lot of commercials in my podcast. You ever notice that? Not a lot of sponsors, just one by design. This is a listener-supported show. So by joining the Shooters Club, making purchases through my Amazon store, things like that, you can help support the podcast, my podcast, and I sure hope you do. I hope you get some benefit from this each and every week and hopefully feel like you are getting something from it. We're getting closer to my long vacation from the podcast. I guess the little break or hiatus or whatever you want to call it. I'm going to take about 6 weeks off the entire month of December and part of January just to step away for a while and avoid burnout. I don't want to get burned. I don't really feel like I'm super close to burnout, but I don't want to get to that point. I love doing this show. I'm going to keep doing this show as long as I have good listeners and lots of listeners. And as long as you guys keep listening, I'm going to keep talking and putting out the show. I often sit and wonder sometimes if anybody would ever miss this show if I ever quit doing it. You know, I'm thinking, how much of an impact have I made? You know, would you miss this show if I quit doing it? What podcaster probably doesn't think about that? A radio show host, or even television host. Everybody, I'm sure, if you do this, you do it long enough and you get successful, you wonder what kind of an impact you're making. I would like to know. Anyway, I'm going to take that break just so I can gather my thoughts as to what the next chapter in Bob Main's life is going to be. Yes, I'll be back doing this podcast, about the middle of January or so, I'll be back putting out regular episodes. I got a lot of guest podcasters that have sent me material. It's great. I got two submissions so far, and I think two or three other people have said they're going to be sending audio podcasts. There are a lot of knowledgeable people out there, a lot of knowledgeable listeners to this show. Thank you very much. Thank you. So send them on over, handgunworld@gmail.com. Just record something, send it over. Maybe send me an email up front. Tell me what it is you want to do, what you want to say. And you're probably going to be the host of one of my episodes. Try to keep it under 30 minutes, but you'll be the host of one of my episodes while I'm on my break. Okay, Aaron Paulette of Operation Blazing Sword and the Gun Blog Variety Cast, also on the Self Defense Radio Network. Coming right up. Okay, well, for the interview segment, I am joined by Aaron Paulette from the Gun Blog Variety Cast and Operation Blazing Sword.
Pleasure to be here, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. And, of course, Ben Branham is here as well.
I'm sticking around because it's going to be a great interview, so I'm trying to stick my nose in it.
I have a groupie. It's awesome.
I know. Yeah. I recruited the groupie for you, too.
Nice.
So you owe me one.
Well, he's not really my type, but thank you. It is the thought that counts.
We take beer as payment.
Aaron, you know, I may have listeners that either don't follow your podcast with Sean or your organization.
Well, they're wrong.
I know they are wrong. Spend 2 to 3 minutes or so telling them who you are.
Wow. Okay. So my name is Aaron Paulette. I am a transgender lesbian who is also a gun owner. And a lot of people think that makes me a unicorn, but that's not true. There are a lot of gay and transgender people who are into guns. The very existence of pink pistols is evidence of that.
That's true.
I just happen to be a little more visible because of how I sort of stumbled into being a figurehead for Operation Blazing Sword.
And how did that happen?
So, the Pulse Massacre happened last year, and it was a tragedy. That was late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Sunday, we were all devastated. Monday, I started seeing something remarkable happening across social media. Facebook, Twitter, blog posts, things like that. And what I saw were gun owners, you know, the ones that the media has been telling us are all straight white males who hate damn queers. And they were saying, if you are gay and you want to learn self-defense so this doesn't happen to you, I will take you. I'll take you to the range. I'll pay for your ammo, pay for your range fees, because self-defense is more important to me than your sexuality, than your politics. And I thought this was beautiful. The problem was, the thing about social media is that we all tend to travel in our own little circles. Mm-hmm. And so gun owners were mostly talking to other gun owners. And this message was not getting out into the queer community where it needed to go. Now, I happen to have a foot in each community. And I thought, hey, I am in the perfect position to get this message where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So I just started doing a Facebook post where I said, okay, well, hey, these people, you know, name, in these different cities have all made this offer. So if you are queer and you want to learn firearm safety, go talk to them. And I thought I would be done in a couple of hours. I'd have maybe, 100 names. I'm probably more like 24. And it just kind of exploded. 12 hours later.
Wow.
Yeah, I had edited the Facebook post so many times that it was doing that thing where it had to check and see if I wasn't a bot. You know, okay, we're going to show you 9 pictures here, and you click on the one that's the tiger. I don't remember how many people I had, but I had gotten at least one volunteer to help me process the information, and it had gone from a Facebook post to an interactive Google map. And then for at least a month afterward, if not more, I would regularly wake up to over 100 emails in my inbox saying, hey, I'm a gun owner, and I want to volunteer to teach queer people how to shoot. And I realized that we were onto something. We fell into it, but we were at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And so I and my merry band of volunteers decided this was something we wanted to do. And
that's what Operation Blazing Sword does, right?
Yes. Operation Blazing Sword is now a 501c3 tax-deductible charity. Please send us money. We need it.
Good.
PayPal.me/OpBlazingSword.
Okay. Or they can probably just search Operation Blazing Sword and find it. I'm sure you got a link on there they can follow, right?
Yes, we have a Facebook page and we have a web page.
Okay.
And so, well, we're still doing what we originally set out to do. We're basically a matchmaking service for people who are... I love the phrase gun curious.
Gun what?
Gun curious.
Gun curious.
Yes. Okay. So you've got the LGBTQ people who don't know anything about guns, but they think they should know something about it because they don't want to be bashed.
Yeah.
And so they're curious, but they aren't comfortable because, again, that media that has spent decades saying that the gun owners want to kill them. So they want to learn how to use guns, but they aren't comfortable going to a gun shop and asking advice or going to a gun range and getting training.
For fear that they'll get rejected, probably.
Rejected or worse.
Yeah.
And so what I have is a list. We currently have 1,475 volunteers across the continental United States. No, I'm sorry. Across all 50 states, plus the United States Virgin Islands, plus we have...
Wow, 1,700 volunteers.
No, 1,475.
Oh, 1,475. Okay.
Yes.
That's still pretty good.
That's still a lot, man.
Yeah.
And then all 50 states?
All 50 states, awesome. the Virgin Islands. We got one in Edmonton, Canada, and we have one in Perth, Australia.
Awesome. Wow.
And
you've gone global.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I got a question. So did this really start in your community? Did it start to get really, really popular after the Pulse nightclub? Or was... Were people in LGBTQ community, interested before that?
Well, they obviously were interested because the Pink Pistols have existed since around 2000, 2001.
That's true, they have, yeah.
So there is that. But the Pulse Massacre was really our 9/11 moment.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, yes, we knew that gay bashing existed, but it was against individuals. And so the common conception was... Either this person was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or it was targeted. You know, oh, that guy made a pass at me. And so it just felt more targeted. But after Pulse, we realized that we were being targeted as a demographic. They don't really care who we are.
Yeah.
They just want to kill us.
They just want, they don't care.
And that was a watershed moment. So there was that. And then there was the way that the Democratic Party essentially threw the queer community under the bus because they didn't want to offend people by saying that the shooter was Muslim and cited religious beliefs for the massacre.
I kind of noticed they didn't want to go there.
Yeah. And so those two things combined. Oh, and then there's the fact that even though the police arrived in time to actually help, because they thought it was a hostage situation, they didn't go in, and a lot of people died that could have been saved. So all those put together, and the queer community realized that, hey, we might need to defend ourselves, and we don't know how. We should probably fix that.
Okay.
Well, such a horrible thing, but that's awesome that the communities decided to defend themselves. That's my passion in life, is to get... human beings to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah.
Everything else doesn't matter. That's what matters.
It is a terrible tragedy, and there's nothing we can do to change that, but hopefully something beautiful can come of it.
Make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yes, because, as the left is fond of saying, if it saves just one life...
Let's use that against them. How's that?
That's a good line. I like that.
Yeah, and awesome. I like to call this the right to life. You know, a lot of people use the words right to life when referring to the abortion argument. I talk about it as self-defense. We all have a right to live. We have a right to preserve our life. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that finally the diversity is starting to, advance in the gun culture. You were at AmCon yesterday, and what did you think of that?
I thought it was awesome. I learned a lot.
What we talked about diversity and how to reach other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a different episode, I had Maj Touré on talking about how to reach his demographic, and he spoke today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what did you get out of AmCon? What was, you liked it, what was it? What do you take away?
Well, I still feel like an amateur in a lot of things, and especially podcasting. And so I feel like I got to sit in on a masterclass regarding how to be a professional, either a professional podcaster or a professional on the radio. And I really feel this is going to up my game.
Or a professional media person in general.
Mm-hmm.
It'll up your game. Yeah, it will. I like to see... The last GRPC I went to, which was in 2011, was not promoting the kind of diversity we're promoting now. So I'm glad to see this. Because I've been doing this now, as I mentioned, I started my ninth year. And when I started doing this podcast, it was, like you had said when we first started this interview, it was basically one type of person that mostly was getting involved in shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm glad to see the diversity happening.
But I really do think that the LGBTQ community can be the next great untapped resource, because we've seen how women in the shooting community have just exploded.
Oh, yeah.
What once was a boys-only club has become very gender diverse, and the manufacturers are responding to that.
Oh,
hey,
yeah. Absolutely.
More people who want to buy our stuff, yes, please, we'll make that. And so I think my community can be that next great untapped market, because they aren't marketing to any of them.
No, they're not. Well, like you said, I mean, females in general, gay or straight, they're getting concealed carry permits in record numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every state will probably tell you we're getting a lot more women that are applying, and then add to that the extra demographic. Yeah, I mean, that's good. That's
mm-hmm.
You know, so all right, so what I think I know the answer, but what challenges are you experiencing in that?
In what exactly?
In getting the LGBTQ community interested.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to let you off the hook. I know LGBTQ is a mouthful. You don't have to say it. You can say queer. It's okay.
Does that cover it all?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, some might object, but most of us understand that queer is a blank, it's an umbrella that covers us all.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you have my permission to use it. I'm going to mention that in my speech tomorrow.
Okay.
That's a good one.
So you've got a queer friend who's saying you can use that word.
All right. So
it's okay.
So in the queer community, then, what are the challenges?
The biggest challenge is getting that message out, because the community has been traditionally reluctant to accept guns.
That's what I thought.
And so if you come out of the gun closet, you face social stigmatization, and this can result in the loss of relationships and jobs. It is almost identical to coming out as being gay in the 80s.
I was going to ask you about that. So coming out being someone who likes guns gets them chastised, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That's kind of... We're all such people that it's so crazy that even though in your subculture that you guys are so much alike and pull together, and then one person sticks their head up with something different, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're different. Even though we're all different, they're even more different, and I don't know if that's right. And
but it's kind of
we
it's
have
kind
this
of the
crazy
same,
thing going it, on.
But there's some of that that goes on even with non-queer people, because like, for example, people that are of liberal political beliefs, a lot of them get crucified by their own when they like guns, you know, and shooting.
Well, I used to live in California, and it was something you kept in the closet, that you were a gun owner and a shooter and a competitor. Unless you're law enforcement or military, there's no reason for you to ever have a gun in California. So I feel that a little bit, obviously not to the extent you do, but so I just kind of think that it's funny. We're all people.
So so they have a reluctance to come out and say, hey, I like shooting, and I want to learn more about this. So what do you do to overcome that, to set them at ease?
You know, I'm still figuring that out, and that's part of the problem, because I just stumbled into this. Really, I'm leading by example.
Good.
I think that's the best thing I can do. I am. I think it's pretty obvious I'm transgender. I hope that it doesn't look that way, but I think it does. And I can show people, look, here I am. I am surrounded by conservative gun owners.
Take a picture of this room and send it to them.
Yeah. It's like, am I being hurt? No. Look, I'm being welcomed. So it's okay, gang.
Can I say, if for your community going the other way, if you come into my community, the subculture of guns, and somebody treats you bad, let me know about it, and I'll go have a one-on-one discussion on it with them, because that's freaking wrong.
You know what you need to do, Aaron? Make sure that some people take some really good pictures of you speaking tomorrow in front of all these people that are going to fill up this room again tomorrow, and then send that to your friends.
Sure. So. Well, I'm going to post the video on the website.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
So leading by example, that's good. Okay, here's something. Once you finally introduce them to firearms, what kind of reaction do you get from them?
Well, I obviously can't speak for everyone.
Yeah. What do you see?
For the most part, what I see is the initial reluctance, maybe even fear, because here's this big scary object that goes bang. And I always start off with a safety briefing with an unloaded weapon so that they know how it works, they know how much the trigger pull is, and I do that in a safe environment, not even at the gun range, so that they aren't flinching from the gunshots. And so once they're very familiar with how the mechanism works, then I take them to the range. And there's always that first trigger pull where they are wincing, you know? Mm. Oh, it's going to go bang, it's going to go. And once they realize it's not as bad as they thought, because I start them off on a .22.
That's good.
Yeah, I've got a single action .22 revolver, a little Ruger Bearcat.
it's a cool little gun.
It is, and you know it has hardly any recoil.
Yeah, zero. It's like shooting nothing.
Yeah, and so, oh God, pop. Oh,
that's it?
That wasn't so bad. I can probably do another one. This is fun.
And I hit the target. Look at that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And
then you put a 1911 in their hands. Oh, I guess you don't do that.
Well, I work my way up. The next one after the .22 is a little .380.
Okay.
And then I do my 9mm. And then I break out the .38 snub nose. And then I get to the .357. I don't have a .45 yet. I should, but they're expensive.
Yeah, they are.
And so there was a lady who I trained several months ago. It was before the NRA annual meeting. So, yeah, it was back in the spring. And she was very reluctant. I mean, she wanted to learn, but she was handling the gun like a snake. Just convinced it was going to bite her, it was going to explode in her hand. And by the end of the session, she was hitting bullseyes with the .357.
Wow.
And she was loving it.
Wow.
And awesome. And it was like, okay, I want to buy a gun. And so now we just have to get our schedules to align, and we're going to go gun shopping.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. So you've taken from someone afraid to pull the trigger to gun shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. And you're going to go with them?
That's what it's all about.
Do I have a concealed carry permit?
No,
yes,
no.
I do.
Oh, well, okay. I wasn't going to ask you. No, I'm going to stumble over my words because I don't want to be stupid.
Okay, while you're stumbling.
But I'm going to be stupid. Do you have a special shop and like a gun clerk that you know to go that won't judge you, or do you just go to any gun shop and don't worry about it?
Ah.
That's a good question.
I see what you're saying.
That's a good question.
I am not yet at the stage in my life where my identification matches my preferred appearance.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, this is just done for special occasions. I can't live like this full time. That is a goal. Can't do that. So, since my identification has that big nasty M gender marker, I have to go in drab, as I like to call it. Social camouflage. Boy drag.
Okay.
So, I do that.
Okay.
So, I haven't had a need to find a clerk that won't judge me, but I'm pretty sure I know a couple who would be, okay.
Cool. Well, I like to say that I worked at a gun shop for a long time, and we had one lady that would come in. It was the same as you, and her ID did not match her at all, but I called her ma'am. She acts like you do. We didn't have any problem. I sold her a couple guns. And she still had to fill out the form because the state is stupid, and you have to put the M by the gender. And so just anybody in your community, I'd say that the form needs to match your driver's license. Yes. Is what it comes down to. And don't be mad at the clerk because he says the form needs to match your driver's license. He's not trying to judge. He's trying to fill out the federal form.
He doesn't want to get in trouble with the ATF.
Right. No, he's trying to sell you a gun
successfully.
He
wants to get
too.
You a gun successfully, uh-huh. Right. But the form has to match your driver's license or he can't give you the gun. So it's not, and I say he, but sometimes it's a lady, and it's not because they're trying to be mean to who you are or what you are. Mm-hmm. They're trying to just make sure that you pass the background checks so you can get your gun. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was wondering if you had somebody, and I know when she came in the shop, she would only talk to me, and because we're a bunch of old white guys in the shop, but I guess once she came in once and she talked to me and I had sold her something, and we didn't have any problems with that, and she came back, mm-hmm. and it was... So it was kind of cool to see her come back. I was like, yes, she came back. I must have done something right.
Now, the first time she gave you her ID, was she scared? Was it awkward? Did she do one of those? Now, before I hand this to you, I need to explain what's going on. Or was it just, bam, there it is?
She just handed it to me, and I looked at it and said, hey, the form needs to match your driver's license, ma'am, completely. And she filled it out to match her driver's license.
Wow.
And so I ran her background check, and... No problem. Here you go. And her ID looks enough like her, even dressed mm-hmm. differently, that it was still her. So okay. No problems there. So that would be the only thing if you're really altering yourself a lot versus what your ID shows. Mm-hmm. It's got to be at least acceptable because if the ATF sees us make a purchase like that and mm-hmm. the ID doesn't match the person standing in front of us, that's an automatic lose your license. So, but other than that, we didn't have any problems, but I felt like I did something right because she came back.
Yeah.
A really nice lady. It was nice to talk to her. So,
Aaron, what's your carry gun?
I have a Glock 26.
Okay.
Cool.
Good. And so I always like ask to ask people that question.
I was going
to
ask, I got curious because you're a lady. So do you purse carry all the time on body or how do you hide that thing?
Well, in my current configuration, I do have purse carry, simply because it's really hard to work things around with all the cute skirts and things like that. Actually, open carry wouldn't be a problem, but for when I have to carry concealed, it goes in the purse.
Does Florida allow open carry?
No, it does not.
Think so.
Which we've had a few bills come forward, but they've all died in committee because
they've been killed for stupid reasons, political reasons.
It took a long time here to pass.
Those
it took like here in Texas.
Miami Republicans. Ugh.
What about those Miami Republicans? They won't pass it?
No.
They keep killing it.
No,
because I know last session
to appear tough on crime. And Miami has a lot of gang activity, so anything that looks good on guns, no, we've got to say no to it. I mean, you were here for when Eric Friday said his thing. And
Yeah. So that's...
They'll get over it. So I hope you can find somebody that, honestly, hope you find a shop that would accept you as you are, and then you'd be able to go in and talk to one of the clerks there and have them treat you correctly and with respect.
Yeah.
I would if you came into my shop, so... I'm sure you can find somebody in Florida that would.
I'm sure I can.
And so, I would suggest that. I would actually push you to try to actually do it.
Okay.
And not try to hide who you are and just go for it.
What message would you like to leave my listeners with? I always like to give my guests the last word for 3 or 4 minutes. What message do you want them to hear?
Wow. Okay. I think the biggest problem facing America today is what I call othering. And that is, we don't see our opponents as human. They are the other. They are the enemy.
Isn't that the truth?
And by othering them, we dehumanize them, and it is so easy to hate them, to discount their arguments as just drivel and not worth listening to. And from there, it just seems like a very slippery slope into violence. But if we remember that our opponents are human beings who we just happen to disagree with, we combat that othering. And that is one of the things that Blazing Sword is trying to do. By having the queer people meet with the gun owners, the left meeting the right, each side is seeing the other as human. And if we can see each other as humans first, that
Good
will
point.
Do more to stave off this... I am so deeply afraid that within the next 5 years, we're going to have some sort of class or race-based civil war, and I do not want that.
It might not even take that long.
Yeah.
I kind of share your your fear. It might not even take that long. That seems to be where it's headed. And nobody seems to be able to slow it down. This is pretty scary stuff.
To me, every side seems to be pushing it. We've had that discussion where the gun community is pushing it. And I'm like, no, stop. I've seen war. Stop it. Let's go have a beer and talk to people, and we'll figure this out before it gets to the violence.
Othering. I've never heard it put that way before.
But that's a really, because even our community says us against them, and you're completely right.
Yeah. So as an example, if you are arguing with someone who is strictly in favor of gun control, I mean, I've felt the same way, that initial feeling of how dare you, but just take a breath and realize that both of you are trying to approach a difficult situation, and your hearts are in the right place, because both of us want to prevent the deaths of innocent people.
Right.
We really do. We just happen to disagree on how to implement that. And if you realize that we agree on the overall picture, we're just haggling on the how, that is a lot friendlier discussion rather than my rights shall not be infringed. You're all murderers.
Yeah, I know, you're right, you know. And I'm actually kind of glad to shall not be infringed language is kind of being softened a little bit here. I'm not saying that our rights, our gun rights, should be infringed. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying we have been, this industry has been kind of pretty Charles Hestonized for many, many years. And I'm glad that we're kind of diversifying that a little bit. You know, now I'm going to get hate mail because of that. And you said you wanted to try to get more of that hate mail, so maybe I can help you.
Yes.
So give them your email so that they can send it to you.
Okay, that's erin@blazingsword.org.
And, of course, now you are a 501c3, so they can donate at blazingsword.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Go there. There's a PayPal link. There's also an address if you want to write us a check. That's good, too.
You accept checks, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
And cash with two IDs, right?
Old school. You accept checks.
Oh, honey, I do not need to see your ID to accept cash.
I know. I like to just catch people off guard with that. Ben, anything you wanted to add in before we let Erin
No, thank you for letting me sit in on the interview. Thank you. Before the interview, I asked awkward, painful questions, and Erin was gracious enough to answer my questions because this is the first time I've got to sit down with somebody from your community and actually ask stupid questions. So I really appreciate Erin and your time. And anybody in your community that needs help in San Antonio, I need to get my name on the list for volunteers so that I can get out there and help them.
Yeah, me too. You know how to find me. So if you've got contacts in San Antonio that need to learn how to shoot, have them get a hold of me.
And I know I said this to you before.
I'm actually out of cards.
You gave me one of your business cards. Well,
I got one. I think I got one, too.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Don't give us your last one.
Yeah. There's more important people to give your last one, too.
Yeah, both of us, San Antonio or Austin, we'll help out. Erin, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
It has been my pleasure, Bob. Thank you for
having
me.
Let's do this again, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good talk tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Well, many thanks to Erin Paulette. I really appreciate the time that all guests give to this show. Check out Operation Blazing Sword. The website link for that website is going to be in the notes, the links and show notes that I list for every podcast. So all you got to do is go to handgunworld.com, check out the show notes. You'll see links to just about everything I talk about on every episode. I forgot when I was talking about concealment solutions earlier that the coupon code handgunworld also gets you a 10% discount. Handgunworld. Put that coupon in there at checkout and claim your 10% discount if you buy anything from Jason over at Concealment Solutions. And don't forget there's a class coming up, November 4th and 5th. Paul Carlson of Safety Solutions Academy. I'm really looking forward to this. Critical Defensive Handgun in San Antonio, Texas at the Cedar Ridge Range. Go to handgunworld.com. You'll see a sign-up link. Several people are signed up. I don't want you to miss a spot in this class. It's going to be very good. Ben Branham and myself will be there, and we are going to be students. Hey, as you know, I'm taking a big break from instruction too. I'm taking a big break from being an instructor because I want to better myself as a shooter. I have some guns I got to give 1,000-round trigger jobs to because, you know, I just haven't been shooting them as much as I should. So some of my guns don't have 1,000-round trigger jobs. I prefer 2,000-round trigger jobs. If you don't know what that is, go to handgunworld.com, search 1,000-round trigger job. You'll see. I talked about it. I did a whole episode about it. So these classes are kind of a good way to give guns 1,000-round trigger jobs. I got to do that with my new Glock 19 Gen 5. It's got to get at least 1,000, maybe 2,000-round trigger job. Paul's class will help me get there with it. So that's November 4th and 5th. Check it out. Critical Defensive Handgun. So what are you doing to help spread the Second Amendment to people? What are you doing to help people realize how to exercise their rights, or even that they should exercise their rights? What are you doing? Examine yourself. Say, hey, how am I positively impacting the spread of people exercising their Second Amendment rights? You know how you can do that in a real easy and simple way? How about referring somebody to my show? How about just sending them a quick email with a link to the Handgun World podcast and say, hey, check this out. You might find this interesting. Check it out and get back to me. Or if you use iTunes to get this show, would you mind giving me an iTunes review? Several hundred people have done it. And if you haven't, I would like to get your honest feedback. I don't mind any feedback, folks, as long as it's honest and it's well thought out and you have a good reason for how you feel, either way, up or down. How about an iTunes review? I have a Facebook page, Handgun World Podcast on Facebook. You can also, I put every episode on my Facebook page. You can leave me a review there as well. Or send that link out to all your Facebook friends. That's an easy way that you can help bring the message out to other people that might not otherwise have heard it. Thanks again for tuning in, folks. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, if you want to bring out the best in people, you first have to see the best in people. So, shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next time.